Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 2, Text 15, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Svashanta rupe svitarai svarupair
Svashanta rupe svitarai svarupair
Abhyardya mane svanukam pitatma
Abhyardya mane svanukam pitatma
Paravaresho mahadamsa yukto
Paravaresho mahadamsa yukto
Hiyajo pijato bhagavan yathagni The personality of Godhead, the all-compassionate controller of both the spiritual and material creations, is unborn. But when there is friction between his peaceful devotees and persons who are in the material modes of nature, he takes birth, just like fire, accompanied by the Mahatattva. Purport. The devotees of the Lord are by nature peaceful because they have no material hankering. A liberated soul has no hankering, and therefore he has no lamentation. One who wants to possess also laments when he loses his possession. Devotees have no hankerings for material possessions and no hankerings for spiritual salvation. They are situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord as a matter of duty, and they do not mind where they are or how they have to act. Karmis, jnanis, and yogis all hanker to possess some material or spiritual assets. Karmis want material possessions. Jnanis and yogis want spiritual possessions. But devotees do not want any material or spiritual assets. They want only to serve the Lord anywhere in the material or spiritual worlds that the Lord desires, and the Lord is always specifically compassionate towards such devotees. The karmis, jnanis, and yogis have their particular mentalities in the modes of nature, and therefore they are called itara, or non-devotees. These itaras, including even the great yogis, sometimes harass the devotees of the Lord. Durvasa Muni, a great yogi, harassed Maharaj Ambarish because the latter was a great devotee of the Lord. And the great Karmi and Jnani Hiranyakashipu even harassed his own Vaishnav son, Prahlad Maharaj. There are many instances of such harassment of the peaceful devotees of the Lord by the itaras. When such friction takes place, the Lord, out of his great compassion toward his pure devotees, appears in person, accompanied by his plenary portions, controlling the Mahatattva. The Lord is everywhere in both the material and spiritual domains, and he appears for the sake of his devotees when there is friction between his devotee and the non-devotee. As electricity is generated by friction of matter, anywhere and everywhere, the Lord, being all-pervading, appears because of the friction of devotees and non-devotees. When Lord Krishna appears on a mission, all his plenary portions accompany him. When he appeared as the son of Vasudeva, there were differences of opinion about his incarnation. Some said he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some said he is an incarnation of Narayana. And others said he is the incarnation of Kshiradakshayi Vishnu. But actually, he is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. And Narayan, the Purushas, and all other incarnations accompany him to function as different parts of his pastimes. Mahad Angsha Yukta indicates that he is accompanied by the Purushas who create the Mahatattva. It is confirmed in the Vedic hymns, Mahantam Vibhum Atmanam. Lord Krishna appeared just like electricity when there was friction between Kamsa and Vasudeva and Ugrasena. Vasudeva and Ugrasena were the Lord's devotees, and Kamsa, a representative of the Karmis and Gyanis, was a non-devotee. Krishna, as he is compared to the sun. He first appeared from the ocean of the womb of Devaki, and gradually he satisfied the inhabitants of the places surrounding Mathura, just as the sun enlivens the lotus flower in the morning. After gradually rising to the meridian of Dwarka, the Lord set like the sun, placing everything in darkness, as described by Uddhava. Svashanta rupeshva itarai svarupayar abhyadyamaneshva lukambitatma paravaresho mahadangsha yukto hiyajo pijato bhagavan yatagnihi. The personality of Godhead, the all-compassionate controller of both the spiritual and material creations, is unborn, but when there is friction between his peaceful devotees and persons who are in the material modes of nature, he takes birth, just like fire, accompanied by the Mahat Tattva. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Taitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Hyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Paragamalam Shri Guru Navaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakaditamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanta Nagorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Vipa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Taitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I'm very fortunate to be here among the peaceful devotees of the Lord. By Prabhupada's mercy, he grabbed me out of the itara, the society of the others, and placed me in the society of the peaceful devotees. So it's the first time I'm here in Finland, seeing how the devotees are very peacefully executing their service of distributing knowledge of Krishna to the itara, others. So gradually we want that instead of there being one room in Finland where this is celebrated, we hope within a few years that on Janmashtami there might be one room in Finland where it's not celebrated. That would be better. We have a lot of work to do. So Janmashtami means birthday of Krishna. It's also my birthday. I'm 31 years old today. My spiritual birthday. When Srila Prabhupada kindly granted initiation to me. Who was that asking yesterday? How is this name Janmashtami come? Why is it called Janmashtami? Yeah, it's a good question actually, if you consider. Janma means birth, and Ashtami means the eighth day. So there are 2 8th days in a month. The month is divided into 2 fortnights, paksha, 2 wings. One is the Krishna paksha, the dark fortnight, the fortnight of the waning moon. And the other is the Shukla paksha, the bright fortnight, or in Gaudiya Vaishnava terminology, the Gaura paksha. So this, in the Krishna paksha, the 8th day, the Ashtami, the Krishna paksha of the month of Bhadra, the lunar month. Actually, it was about 5,000 years ago on a Wednesday, so it's also a Wednesday today, more auspicious. Lord Krishna appears. Well, he's not the only one who appears on this day. If we search throughout the universe, we'll find that many gods, demigods, demons, Kinnaras, Kimparushas, Gandharvas, animals, snakes, insects, worms, birds, fish, they also take birth on the same day. But when we say Janmashtami, then it's not referring to others who take birth on this Ashtami. There are so many Ashtamis in which people take birth. But this refers specifically to that person who is so important that when we say he took birth on this day, then it's understood that he is in a completely different category to all others who may take birth on this day. He is in a different category because, as is described in this verse, he ajo pijato bhavanyatadnihi. He is unborn, but he takes birth. How is that possible? He is Bhagavan. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he who does not take birth takes birth. And he who is beyond time appears in this universe on a particular time, on a particular date, at a particular time. So this is the mystery of Janmashtami. Although he is unborn, he takes birth. He is eternal. If he has no birth, that means he has no death. If he has birth and death, that means he's under the control of time. He's under the control of another principle. But he himself is the controller of everything. So he doesn't take birth. He doesn't die. Jatasya, he dhruvam janma mritasya cha. For one who is born, death is certain. For one who dies, birth is certain. But Krishna is not born and does not die. Nevertheless, we are celebrating his birthday. What does this mean? He's not born means he's not born in the way that an ordinary person of this material world is born. Under the control of time, under the control of his material karmic reactions. What is that? Karmano? Jantar de hopapati. Karmana daivane trena jantur deho papatteye. The conditioned souls, according to the results of their previous activities and under the supervision of the Supreme Lord and His agents, they take birth in a suitable womb. But Krishna's birth is not like that. He's the Supreme Controller. Therefore, although he's unborn, means he doesn't take birth impelled by his previous activities. And he's unborn also means that he doesn't get a new form each time. The same eternal form appears. Another term used is avibhav, appearance. Janma, the philosophical term for Krishna's appearance, is avibhav. He appears. And from the point of view of his devotees, who out of vatsalya bhav, out of the parental feelings of affection toward him, they consider that he has taken birth. So Janmashtami is actually a very intimate term. Otherwise we would say Sri Krishna avibhav tithi. So he appears out of his own desire, because he wants to. People say, why does God come to this world? Some people even say he cannot come to this world. He's too great for this world. But to say he cannot come to this world denies his greatness, because if he wants to, he can. We may say that, well, we wouldn't expect him to come. Why would the king visit the stoolhouse of the, or the prisoner's stoolhouse? Practically what this material world is, it's a prison house. That's one example given. Another example given, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that this material world is like a pit into which people pass stool. So why should Krishna come here? Why would the Supreme Lord come here? Some people say, no, not possible, cannot come. But to deny that he can come denies that he is God. If he's God, if he wants, he can come. So he comes, he wants. The example is given here, yathagnihi, like fire. This means that just as fire is present in wood and under certain circumstances becomes manifest, so in the same way Krishna is already within this material world. If he wasn't within this material world, it couldn't exist. He maintains and sustains it. He's present in every atom. So he's already there. That's why it's another reason why Krishna, he's unborn. He appears from the womb of Devaki. He appears, he comes out, becomes manifest, although actually he's present everywhere. So just like fire under certain circumstances becomes manifest from wood, it's there. But we're not aware of it. It doesn't seem, if you see wood, it doesn't seem like fire, but fire is present within here in a subtle form. And it can come out. Arani wood. It's one wood whereby rubbing it, fire becomes manifest. So Krishna becomes manifest This example, Rupa Goswami also gives that. I'll get back to that later. The Lord Himself explains in Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Well known verse. Abhyutanam adharmasya tadātmānam śrijāmyaham paritrānāya sādhunam vināśāya tatuṣkitām dharma saṃsthāpanārthāya sambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna comes for a specific purpose. Krishna explains why he comes to Arjuna. Arjuna was surprised when Krishna told him that imam vivasvati yogam proktavanaham abhyayam. Krishna told Arjuna that I spoke this knowledge to Vivasva. Then Arjuna became surprised to hear this. Aparang bhavato janma parang janma vivasvata katam etad vijaniyam tvam ado proktavaniti. He asked Krishna, I don't understand this. I mean, you're born, you're the same age as me. And Vivasvan is so old, the sun god. And how are we to understand that? How is it possible that you spoke to the sun god so long ago when we all know you had your Janma Leela, your appearance in this world, at that time only about 125 years ago? So Arjuna asked Krishna, what is going on here? Then Krishna told Arjuna, Bahuni mevi atitani, janmani tavacha Arjuna, tani ahang veda sarvani, natam veda parantava. That I have had many births, and so have you. The difference is that I remember them, but you don't. Arjuna, even though a great devotee of the Lord, is and always present with the Lord. He was present when Krishna spoke to Vivasvan also. But Arjuna doesn't remember. Krishna remembers because he's the Supreme Lord. Which also suggests that his janma, he himself says, I've had many births. But then again he says, Ajopi. Ajopi sanavyayadma bhutanam ishvaropi. Prakritim svamadhishtaya sambhavamyamamaya. He says, he told Arjuna that I have had many births, and so have you. But then he says, actually I don't take birth. But because avyaya atma, my form is not destructible. One who, the jiva whose body is destroyed, he has to take birth again and again to get newer and newer bodies. But Krishna's form is not destroyed. He appears to take birth and he appears to die, but actually his form is indestructible. And by his own desire, out of his mercy, he appears in this world, even though he is unborn. So this is the mystery of his janma. Then what does he appear for? Yada yada hi dharmasya glani. He, whenever there is a decline in dharma, here dharma is very broad term. It's understood that the varnashram dharma, which Lord Krishna comes to institute, chatur varnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagasha. When there's a decline in dharma, which is the purpose of the universe, is to reform the conditioned soul. So the system of dharma, beginning with varnashram dharma, is the system by which they may be reformed. But that requires to follow various rules and regulations. But the conditioned souls, they are in this material world due to being averse to Krishna. And this averseness that is regulated and purified by varnashram system. But the tendency is that will always be because of the very perverse, averse nature of the conditioned souls. Then gradually in human society the system of dharma It becomes dharma glani. It becomes worn down. That Krishna explained just before this that evang parampara praptam. Now first he spoke to Vivasvan. Vivasvan manave praho manor ikshvakave bravid evang parampara praptam imang rajasyo viduhu sakale nehamata yogo nashta parantava. So I spoke to Vivasvan. Vivasvan spoke to Manu. Manu spoke to Ikshvaku. And in this way, this knowledge was passed down through the chain of saintly kings. But in course of time, this knowledge became broken down. Therefore, Saivayam Maya Tedya Yoga Proktav Paratanaha Bhaktosi Me Sakachiti Rahasyam Hiyetad Uttamam. So therefore I'm speaking this knowledge again to you, that same knowledge, because you are my devotee as well as my friend. Then Arjuna interjected, but wait a minute, before you go on speaking, I just want to clear one thing up. How did you speak to Vivasvan? So Krishna explains the importance, knowledge of why he appears when there is decline in dharma. Glani bhavati, dharma glani bhavati bharata, and concomitantly adharma, that which is not, that which is opposed to dharma, that becomes prominent. At that time, Krishna says, I appear. Tadatmanam srijami aham. I become manifest. Furthermore, paritranaya sadhunam, for the sake of protecting, uplifting, saving the devotees, vinashaya tadushkritam, destroying the misbehaved, and dharma sangstharpanartha, for the sake of re-establishing dharma, sambhavami yuge yuge, I appear in every age, Krishna says. So, Krishna himself explains why he appears in these verses. And there are many other reasons also, because Bhagavan, he is very intelligent. So whenever he does anything, he accomplishes many purposes by one action. So by his appearance in this world, he performs many activities. Kunti Devi, in her famous prayers to Krishna, says that, well, some people say that the unborn yourself, Krishna, has become born just to favor the Vrishnis and the Yadus. Others say that you came because Lord Brahma prayed for you. Others say that you came to deliver your devotees. She gave so many possible reasons. There are various reasons why Krishna came to this world. But the main reason he comes is to show his wonderful pastimes, to uplift his devotees and perform his wonderful pastimes with them, so that others, so his devotees will be pleased. Krishna lives for his devotees, and so that others at that time and later also, just like ourselves now, can hear about those pastimes and being attracted to them, mold our lives in such a way that we can become qualified to enter into these pastimes. Because unless we accept that the Supreme Lord has various activities and pastimes, then he doesn't really have much meaning. He's just there. Generally people think of God as their order supply, that I am the center and my interest is the center of everything, and if God is there at all, his job is to provide my sense gratification. One now expired head of the Church of England, the ex-Archbishop of Canterbury, was asked, what will you do when you go to heaven? They presumed he was going to heaven. Although by his activities, according to Vedic analysis, it might appear he was going in the opposite direction. Those who eat cows every day, they don't go to heaven. Anyway, they have very muddled theology. Whatever little theology, they have very little theology, and whatever they have is very muddled. So they equate heaven with the abode of God. So he said, I'll spend the first 100 years glorifying God, and then for the rest of eternity I'll enjoy myself. This is the head of the second largest Christian sect in the world. No knowledge. So if we don't accept the appearance of the Lord in this world, or that he has transcendental, blissful activities, then how will we relate to him? Religion means to love God and respect him. But how are we to love him if he doesn't have any activities? Some persons, they're like vegetables. They get in some accident, and then after that they just sit, and they can't talk. All you can do is feed them and clothe them, or someone is put on some life sustaining machine and they're just there. They don't do anything. And it's very difficult to love someone if you can't talk to them, if there's no reciprocation, there's no activities. So we're enjoined to love God, but if we don't know what his activities are, what he looks like, where he lives, who his friends are, what he likes to do, what he likes to eat, how he dresses, then how are you going to love someone if you don't know anything about them? Or if you presume that they don't have names, forms, qualities, and pastimes, then where is the question of love? You can't love some concept. I love the sky. You can't love the sky. You can admire it. Oh, the sky looks very beautiful. But you can't have a relationship with a non-person. So to say that we are to love God means that he's a person. And that he's a person means he has names, forms, qualities, pastimes, associates. So to show this, Krishna comes to this world to show that his existence, his spiritual existence, is far more relishable than that in this material world, to attract the conditioned souls. Krishna is Lila Purushottam. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, called Lila Purushottam. His Vishnu form is known as Purushottam or Aishwarya Purushottam. He shows his opulence. And Ramachandra Bhagavan, he is Maryada Purushottam. He's the Supreme Lord who shows the path of proper behavior, respectable behavior. Krishna is Lila Purushottam. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavita Vista. No, there's the other one. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Matya Manasu Yat Praninam Pratipalan Smaritam Upeti Lilayatena Bhuvanani Jayatya Jasra Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. By his divine, all relishable pastimes, which the devotees always remember, Krishna rules. by his pastimes. He dominates over this world, not by force, but by love. His pastimes are the, for those who have the appreciation of his pastimes, of his Divya Leela, his transcendental pastimes, they appreciate how Govinda, the original personality of Godhead, is to be worshipped, and they appreciate how he dominates everything, not by military force, but by Krishna's dancing. He controls everything. The whole world, everyone is dancing. Someone is dancing the dance of death, Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi, dancing in 8,400,000 species of life. But if we dance in time and according to the directions of the supreme dancer, we were just singing Vrindavana Natabara, the supreme dancer of Vrindavan, then we can dance all the way to his abode and dance eternally with him. So Krishna comes to show his wonderful pastimes. Other activities, relieving the burden of the earth, that is the general function of the Lord in his various incarnations. He appears in this world to relieve the burden of the earth, which is caused by the demons. So when Krishna comes, that activity is secondary. He does that, but he doesn't directly do that. Krishna is Leela Purushottam, Prem Purushottam. Krishna is concerned with his loving pastimes. So Krishna, he also killed so many demons from the very beginning. Actually, we'll find in the description of Krishna in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that Rasleela is not described so much, but killing Leela, there's a lot more, there's so many. From the very beginning, Putana, Shakata Asura, so many demons, Trinavata Asura, Bakasura, Aghasura. Even in his childhood, Krishna killed so many demons. Then he went to Mathura to kill Kamsa and other demons. And throughout his stay on this earth, he was killing so many demons, either directly or through Bhima and Arjuna. Bhima and Arjuna were two particular agents of Krishna who killed many, many demons. They relieved the burden of the earth. So Krishna also did that when he came as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. But that was a secondary activity. And Krishna even personally, as Prem Purushottam, Leela Purushottam, he personally does it, but not as his Krishna has many forms, and he performs killing leelas through the agency of his Vishnu expansions, who are none different from him. But in his original form, as Krishna, Prem Purushottam, he doesn't kill. He only enjoys loving exchanges with his devotees. So all these Vishnu forms, they're none different from him. Ram, Narsingha, Varaha, Kurma, Matsya, they're none different from him. But that example is given. Dipachiri vahida shantarama bhupeta dipayate vivritahitu samana dharma yas tadrige vahicha vishnu tayavi bhati govindamadi purusham tamaham vajami. Just as one candle gives light to all others, so all the forms of Vishnu are equal in potency. But nevertheless, Krishna is the original form. Another example is given that just like a candle gives, the fire of a candle gives light and heat, but the fire of a big bonfire, that gives more light and heat. So in the winter, when we're suffering from cold, the big bonfire, that will give us more pleasure. So then we can warm our hands on a candle, but if there's a big bonfire, we'll get more relief. So Krishna is Vishnu, all the forms of Vishnu are God, and the original form, they're all non-different. The original form is Krishna, so he's also God, but more so. You may say, well, how is that? Because God is complete. So yes, Krishna is complete. Vishnu is complete, but Krishna is more so. This is not imaginable how Vishnu is complete and perfect, but there is even more complete and more perfect. How can you say more perfect? If something's perfect, then there's no defect or there's no deficiency in it. But in spiritual existence, it is possible to have perfect and more perfect. Purna means full and perfect. Purnatara means more full and more perfect. And Purnataram means most full and most perfect. So when Krishna appears, all the different avatar forms appear with him. And he kills demons through the agency of Vishnu. So these various forms Krishna sometimes showed, even in his Vrindavan Leela, sometimes the Vishnu aspect became prominent when he was killing the demons. He showed to Lord Brahma, when Lord Brahma stole all the cows, all the calves and the cowherd boys from Krishna, then Krishna showed to Brahma that I have reproduced them. All these are Vishnu forms being worshipped by Brahma, by other Brahmas, and Shiva and Indra and all the demigods. And who are you? You're looking at me, Krishna, and thinking, this boy is insignificant. I'm looking at you, Brahma, and thinking, this Brahma is insignificant. Even by the standard of Brahma, there are so many Brahmas, and this one happens to be the smallest Brahma in the smallest Brahmanda. Also, when Krishna was being taken from Vrindavan with Balaram by Akrura, he bathed in the Yamuna, and at that time Balaram took the form of Anantashesh and Krishna took the form of Mahavishnu. So he showed, even within his Vrindavan Leela, his Vishnu forms. There are also when Sudama, his friend, he once took the form of Garuda in Vrindavan, and Krishna took the form of Vishnu and enjoyed that pastime. There's a temple of Garuda Govinda in Vrindavan where Krishna enacted this pastime. Then again at the Dwadashaditya Tila, the hill where the Madan Mohan temple is established, at that place to Aditya, the Adityas, the Krishna showed 12-handed form. So even within Vrindavan, he showed that, yeah, I'm also Vishnu. If you want, I can be like that also. But sometimes for fun, he would show that form. When the gopis were looking for him, for fun, he showed them the Narayan form. So they came and prayed to him. Namo Narayanaya. You are very great. You are the Supreme Lord. Do you know where Krishna is? So his devotees, the devotees of Krishna, they're attracted to Krishna. But he is also Narayan. It's not that Krishna is an aspect of Narayan, but rather vice versa. So just as when a king comes, if we say the king is coming, then it's understood that the king comes with his ministers and his whole entourage. King doesn't go anywhere alone. If he's a king by himself, that means he's in trouble. Sometimes a king is running away from his enemy forces, so he may go by himself. He's hiding. A king in hiding is no king. But Krishna is never defeated. He is Ajit. He's never defeated. So he's never alone. So when it's said that Krishna is coming, Krishna has come, it's understood that he comes with all his associates. And he comes with all the different forms, replete, all the Vishnu forms replete within him, to exhibit the pastimes of the spiritual world, to show his Golok Leela in Gokul, to show that even more relishable than the pastimes of Lord Vishnu are those of Krishna. So he demonstrates these pastimes within this world. So this, of course, we're discussing here now. Tathavad Prabhu was saying, I should speak this evening also. I was saying, well, this evening we have to speak more simply. We can't, for people who are not coming and regularly hearing about Krishna, then all these topics, they can't understand them. These are advanced topics of spiritual life. That persons who only have a vague idea of Krishna, they cannot understand these topics that we are discussing. Those who have regularly heard Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they can understand these points about the Vishnu forms, how they're non-different from, yet subordinate to Krishna, how Krishna is unborn, yet he is born. We're celebrating the birthday of the unborn. So it's very difficult to understand. It's not possible to understand unless we accept that in the Supreme, all contradictions are resolved, that incompatible characteristics can simultaneously exist. Krishna is the supreme controller. He controls all the planets and all the universes. But he is controlled by the love of his mother who ties him up. Krishna cannot be captured by anyone. Everyone is within his grip, but Mother Yashoda catches him. Krishna is everywhere. He's all-pervading. Yet, Goloka eva nivasatya kila atma bhuta. He's within everyone's heart. But he's specifically in his own planet, Goloka Vrindavan. So here's another apparent contradiction. He is unborn, yet he's also born. You may say, well, how is that possible? It's not possible for you and me. But if Krishna is the Supreme, if at all we are to accept that he's the Supreme, then he must be everything. So he's unborn, everything is by him. If he's the Supreme, then there cannot be any condition that is foreign to him, that is outside of him. So he's unborn, and he must be born also. If we are born, then he can be born. Why should we say that he can't be born? We get born, so why should he not be born? Of course, his being born is not under the miserable conditions that we are born. Some filthy substances come out from when any animal is born or human being is born. But Krishna is not born like that. Krishna is not born from the womb filled with blood and so many nasty things. But Krishna appears from the pure heart of Vasudeva and Devaki. So he's born, but without the contamination and the contaminating influence of this material world. Here this verse mentions Ajo Pijata. He is unborn, yet he is born. So this is several times mentioned in Bhagavad Gita that I was quoting, Ajopi Sanavya. Krishna, he's unborn, but he's born in Purusha Sukta. That's also mentioned. That's stated. Ajayamano Bahan Bahudha Vijayate. That the unborn takes birth many times. But his appearance, his janma lila, janmadi lila, beginning, janma karma chame devyam, it's all transcendental. There's nothing, even though Krishna appears within this world, he is not part of it. This is the key to understanding Krishna. If at all we are to understand Krishna, then we have to understand that even though Krishna appears in this world, he's not part of it. He's not affected by it. He always remains Bhagavan. That Purusha Prakriti Stohi Pumte Nene. Not this verse. What is that verse? Etadishanam Ishasya Prakriti Stohi Tadgunai Na Yujyate Sadatmasthaya Yathabuddhis Tadashaya. He appears in this world, but he's not affected by it. If he is affected by it, then he's not God. He always remains aloof. So, this Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita that one who understands that my pastimes, they are transcendental. My appearance, my janma, and my activities, they're all transcendental. Then by understanding that my birth is transcendental, then one doesn't have to take birth again. So this is the value of understanding this. Now, we may say that by understanding that Krishna's janma is transcendental, one doesn't have to take birth again, then you become more than Krishna. Because Krishna, he takes birth again and again. So does the jiva become more than Krishna? No. Because Krishna's janma lila, it is eternal, and although he takes birth again and again, he remains unborn. That the jiva becomes free from birth and death means he becomes free from the influence of material nature which forces him to take birth. But Krishna is anyway free from the influence of material nature. That's why by hearing about him one can become free from the influence of material nature. So Krishna is free from the influence of material nature, and he takes birth again and again by his own desire. It's his birth, and that of the jiva is entirely different. If we understand this, we get free from birth and death, and we may get the opportunity to join Krishna in his eternal pastimes of eternally being born. So one may be born again. But when it means that one becomes free from birth, we have to understand when the term janma is used for the conditioned soul, that means his janma is followed by janma mrityu jaravyadhi. The birth of the conditioned soul is followed by death, and in between birth and death there is old age, disease, and so many other kinds of suffering. But Krishna's janma is followed by his divya janma, his transcendental appearance, is followed by his divya karma, his transcendental leelas. So his appearance is quite different from that of the jiva, and his activities are quite different, although they appear to be human-like, and thus they are misleading to persons who do not have the divine vision. Kritavan kila karmani saharamena keshava. Saharamena atimatyani bhagavan. Gura kapatamanasha. Krishna and Balaram appearing in many ways like ordinary persons. They perform, in many ways they appeared like ordinary human beings. They sucked the breasts of their mothers as children and took out the cows. But actually they are atimartya. They are above death. They are above human beings. They have superhuman power, which they time to time exhibited, and then they went back to being just like ordinary human beings, just like Krishna. Balaram and the other coward boys complained to Mother Yashoda, Krishna is eating dirt. And Krishna said, no, I didn't, they're lying. So just to check, Mother Yashoda put Krishna on her lap and said, open your mouth, let's see. So she looked inside and she saw, she maybe thought there's a little bit of dirt. She saw all the dirt in the universe and everything else in the universe. And she also saw within the universe, she saw herself. And she saw Vrindavan and herself with Krishna sitting on her lap. She thought, oh, looks like Krishna's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And immediately Krishna thought, this isn't very good. If she thinks I'm God, she's going to stop feeding me milk. So immediately he started crying, I'm hungry. And then she fed him, forgetting his showing these superhuman pastimes. She became, because that for her is this kind of philosophical thinking is can arise in her. But her sthayi bhav, her mood of love, is to think Krishna is my son. So when Krishna cried, I'm hungry, I need milk, she immediately forgot all this philosophy that I'm by Maya, by the Supreme Lord's Maya, I'm thinking I'm the wife of Nanda Maharaj who has so many cows, but actually I'm just an insignificant jiva within this material world. And all this philosophy, she immediately forgot Krishna cried. So Krishna show in Vrindavan, he shows his superhuman characteristics. And then again, immediately, like an ordinary cowherd boy. Just like he killed Trinavrata, the whirlwind demon, who fell down. And then he came crawling to his mother. So they thought that, well, it's just by the intercession of Lord Narayan that he has been saved from this, because he's a helpless child. He was kidnapped by the whirlwind demon, and somehow, by the grace of Lord Narayan, this Trinavrata demon, he was killed. And then our helpless, darling, little baby, Krishna, came crawling to us, and we went and picked him up. So immediately after killing the demon that even the demigods were afraid of, he again showed himself as helpless. So, this is his divine Leela. Leela means that what is the purpose of Leela? We may say, why is God, why is he drinking milk from his mother's breast and taking out the cows and what's the point? We think like that because we have this mechanistic way of thinking that everything should have some point, that God should be sitting there very sternly and ordering the universe. He's the boss, right? So he's a very stern kind of fellow. Well, Krishna does have a purpose, and the purpose is pleasure. Just like I was saying yesterday, Prabhupada was quoting that, what is the purpose of life? The purpose of life is to enjoy. So what is it? Why is that? Because we are part and parcel of Krishna. And Krishna is Leela Purushottam. Why does Krishna do so many things? For pleasure. Because he wants to. That's all. But Krishna's pleasure is not selfish pleasure. His pleasure is not attained by exploiting others. He doesn't have to exploit anyone or anything, because he is the proprietor of everything, and everything happens by his will. So his pastimes, they give pleasure to him. Of course, the non-devotees, they don't take pleasure in them, but that's their misfortune. But those who are sane, they take pleasure in Krishna's pleasure. Ananda chinmaya rasa pratibhavita bhistabhirya eva nijirupataya kalabhihi goloka eva nivasatya kilatma bhuta govindamadi purusham tamaham jami. By his internal pleasure potency, goloka, the spiritual world where all activities are performed for, everyone performs activities for the pleasure of Krishna, and everything Krishna does is for the pleasure of his devotee. This is love. This is the land of love. So Krishna exhibits this. He comes, he's in everyone, he lives in Goloka, and he lives in this material world in everyone's heart. But he comes out and shows the pastimes of Goloka in Gokul, inviting everyone to come to him. These are not material activities. This is the point to be understood. These are the philosophical point to be understood. These are not material activities. This is all enacted by his Swarup Shakti. Swarup means his very own form. So his Swarup Shakti is non different from him. Krishna is himself, his form, and he has Parasya Shakti Vividhaiva Shruyate Swabhaviki Gyanabala Kriyacha. Krishna has so many potencies which automatically act under his direction. Krishna's various potencies, his energies, they even without him thinking about it, without him having to write software for his shaktis and you know, make various calculations how my energies are working, we do that to see how his energies are working in the material sphere. But he doesn't have to do that. Just by his Ichha Shakti, by his desire, everything is orchestrated. So his Swarup Shakti, or his Leela Shakti, is non-different from him, and makes all arrangements for Krishna's wonderful pastimes. So by his Swarup Shakti, his associates also appear. When we say Janma Karma Chame Divyam, Krishna's appearance and his activities are all transcendental. And just as a king appears with his entourage, so Krishna appears with his mother, father, wives, children, girlfriends, boyfriends, so many male friends. So he with his own, he brings everything with him. He brings his own trees and birds and land. He brings everything with him. The trees of Vrindavan, they're not ordinary trees. The bird, they're all from the spiritual world. So Krishna manifests all this. That means that even the janma and karma of his associates are completely transcendental. They're of the same category. That verse, etadishanamishasya prakatisato pitat gunai na yujyate sadatma sthaya tabutis tadashray. Those, his associate, Krishna, the very nature of his Godhead is that he's transcendental to matter, even though appearing within it. But that is true of his associates also. If we think that Krishna is transcendental, but his cows and his Yamuna, it's not. And that's a miscalculation. Everything, all manifestations of the Swarup Shakti, they're manifest from himself for his own pleasure. So even his associates are fully transcendental. That's why we should never think of the pure devotees as ordinary persons. They might appear to be, just like Vasudeva and Devaki might have appeared to be ordinary persons. Or even if we hear the description how Vasudeva and Devaki, they were Sutapa and Prishni, and they performed austerities for 12,000 celestial years. Yeah, last time I think I said 1,000, it was 12,000 celestial years. So you may think, well, they're sadhana siddhas. By sadhana they became perfect. And then they appeared as Kashyap and Aditi, and then as Vasudev and Devaki. So we may say, well, how are Vasudev and Devaki the eternal father and mother of Krishna? Yes, they are. But just like Krishna is the original form of God, and he has his other forms, Rama, Nrsimha, Vasudev, that means Vishnu. So Vasudev and Devaki, they are the original father and mother of Krishna. And Sutapa and Prishni, they're also non-different from Vasudeva and Devaki. But they're the parents of the Anshas, the Sva-Ansha, other forms of the Supreme Lord. So there are many points which are Acharyas have given about Krishna's transcendental blissful pastimes. You may say, well, how are they blissful? Vasudeva and Devaki were imprisoned by Kamsa, and their children were killed one after another, and then the Vrajvasis, after Krishna left Vrindavan, they were plunged into the grief of separation. But this is all ananda, chinmaya rasa prati. Ananda, the word is all transcendentally blissful. In spiritual life, everything is blissful. Even the apparent distress is blissful. And particularly, the separation from Krishna. That's the most blissful. So this, again, this cannot be understood by material measurement. But we can understand that just as in material life, the so-called the distress is certainly distressful, and the so-called happiness is also distressful. But in spiritual life, the happiness is happy, and the so-called or the apparent distress is also blissful. It only appears, it only seems to be distressful, but actually, that is the highest bliss. So again, we may see that Vasudeva and Devaki, Nanda and Yashoda, they appear to, their attachment for Krishna, it might seem just, well, you know, every parent has attachment to their children. So it may seem mundane. This is the mistake that the Mayavadis make. They say, well, they think that Krishna's pastimes, they're mundane. They think that Krishna is a product. They have various theories that there's the impersonal Brahman, and Krishna is a mundane representation or manifestation of Sattva-gun, and his pastimes are they're almost spiritual, and then by hearing about them, you can become purified and then realize that actually we are all one. So they misunderstand that the attachment of parents for children in this world is a perverted reflection of the pure spiritual attachment that Vasudeva and Devaki and Nanda and Yashoda have for Krishna. It's not the same. For one thing, it's far more intense. Another thing is that it's eternal. Another thing is that Krishna, being the object of love for all living beings, is loved not as a son, not only by Nanda and Yashoda, but even by the other, those who are the same, the other cowherd men and women of Vrindavan. they all loved Krishna even more than their own sons. Transcendental love. And Krishna gave them the chance to directly serve him as their sons. Again, he performs many activities in every pastime. So, when Brahma kidnapped the calves and cowherd boys, Krishna took those forms. And so the cows who wanted that my milk should be fed to Krishna, and the other elderly cowherd men and women of Vrindavan who desired that, I'd so much like if I could have Krishna in my home and personally feed him and dress him like my own son, Krishna fulfilled their wish. And so the when Krishna took the role of the calves and the cowherd boys for 1 year, the love that their parents showed to them was even far more than they showed to their own children. They thought they were their same children, but actually it was Krishna disguised like that. That pastime was there. Balaram became astonished when he saw that one time during this year, when Krishna was taking the form of the calves and the cowherd boys, at one time the cowherd men of Vrindavan, they were grazing their cows on Govardhan Hill. And then it just so happened that Krishna and Balaram with the cowherd boys, they came at the bottom of Govardhan Hill with the calves. The young boys would look after the calves, and the men would look after the cows. So when the cows saw the calves, they immediately charged down from Govardhan Hill, being full of affection for the calves and wanted to feed them milk, even though they had already had more calves since that time. They felt such attraction to these calves. And the cowherd men became totally frustrated because they controlled the cows, but they couldn't control them. The cows, even though the cowherd men were showing the sticks and shouting at them, they totally ignored. And they ran, they charged down Govardhan Hill, and then they fed their calves. And then the cowherd men, being frustrated, came running after them. They said, "Oh, we're cowherd men, but we can't even control our cows. Now they're going to give all the milk to the calves." So they came down. But then when they saw their sons there, they forgot all about their frustration and started petting them with so much affection. And Balaram became surprised. What's going on here? Because he wasn't present when Brahma stole all the cows and calves. The calves and the cowherd boys. He wondered, what's going on here? How are the cows so affectionate to the calves? And how are the cowherd men who are so frustrated 1 second and they're showing so much affection to their sons? I mean, it's understood that men have affection for their sons, but so much so. Then he began to understand, actually, this is Krishna taking these forms, so that these cowherd men and women of Vrindavan and the cows can have Krishna to directly serve. So this Vatsalya Ras, the love of Krishna, the love of the devotees for Krishna, it might appear to persons whose ability to understand love is very crippled, mediocre, and insignificant. It may seem that Krishna's pastimes are mundane. But those who are rasagya, those who know, those who are knowledgeable about rasa, transcendental exchanges, the bliss of transcendental exchanges, they can understand that the bliss that devotees feel in loving Krishna, that is of a completely different quality of that of the material world, which is the perverted reflection of that of the spiritual world. It's of a different quality, both in quality and quantity. It far, far exceeds the love of this material world. It's transcendental. It's not crippled by the material motives of this material world. So Krishna is fully transcendental. His devotees are fully transcendental. He is unborn, although he is born. He is Aja, although we're unborn, and we're celebrating Janmashtami. Aja means, just like he's also described in the Vedic literature as Anama, Arupa, Akarta, means, Aja literally means not born. Anama means no name. Arupa means no form. Akarta means he doesn't perform any activities. So all these terms are true, but the impersonalists, they misunderstand them. And although they see Krishna's transcendental pastimes, because of the terms in the Vedic literature, Aja, Anama, Arupa, Akarta, they presume that Krishna's activities, they cannot be the activities of the Supreme, because the Supreme is described as having no activities. And Krishna's form cannot be Supreme, because the Supreme is described as having no form. But in this way they misunderstand. Although Krishna's forms, qualities, pastimes, associate, everything about him is clearly of a totally different nature of that of the crippled asat, achat, nirananda existence of the conditioned souls. Krishna's existence is satchit ananda. He is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge. So they failing to recognize this, they presume that Krishna cannot be supreme, because the supreme is described as Aja, Anama, Arupa, Akarta. But these terms are given to emphasize that the Supreme, his Janma, is not like that of the conditioned souls. His Nama, his names, is not like that of the conditioned souls. He has unlimited names because he has unlimited qualities. The Supreme, if we say the Aguna, no qualities. If we say he has no qualities, then how can he be the Supreme? What's supreme about him? He doesn't have any qualities. He has no name, no qualities, no form, no abode, no associates. Then what? How can it be described as supreme? It's just a negative, a neuter principle. There's nothing. Supreme means above all others. Therefore, lila yatena bhuvanani jayatya jasram. He rules by his. He dominates, he's supreme by his name, form, qualities, pastimes. So this that's to distinguish. He's Aja, no material birth. We also, it means he is born through his Surup Shakti. He appears through his, which is Satchidanandamayi, composed of eternity, bliss and knowledge. Whereas we appear, or the conditioned souls appear through the external energy, which is tapa traimai. We're not composed of eternity, bliss and knowledge, composed of the three miserable conditions, adhyatmik, adhibhautik, adhidaivik. So because we are in this constricted condition, we presume that Krishna must be also. So Krishna took birth, the unborn took birth, a little over 5,000 years ago, at the Sandhya period, the period at the end of, Sandhya means the interim period, or the changing period, the Sandhya, there we have three Sandhya. In the day we have three Sandhya. Means the time of transition period. The first one is the transition. Dawn is the transition from darkness to light. Then Madhyana is the transition from the sun climbing in the sky to going down in the sky. And Sandhya, or the evening, this Suryasta, the setting of the sun, that's the third Sandhya. So these are the three Sandhyas of the day. So between the four ages, it's not that all of a sudden Dwarpa Yuga, it just completely changes the next day into Kali Yuga. Just like this, the sun rises, it's a gradual process. So Krishna appears at the Sandhya, at the period when Dwarpa Yuga is ending and the influence of Kali Yuga is about to begin. And we are celebrating it today, Janmashtami, which, if the mundane persons would just consider it, shows that even if you don't accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna is very important. Why don't the mundane people see that? Krishna is very important. Who else is being, their birthday is being celebrated after so many years? Why don't they see this? At the very least, you have to accept Krishna is very important. In India today, it's a great celebration. In Gujarat, all the newspapers will have on the front page the hero of the day. Actually, he's the hero of every day. But they have pictures of Krishna. And on Ram Navami, they have pictures of Ramchandra Bhagavan. Especially in Gujarat. In other places, I didn't see that. But in Gujarat, the newspapers have like that. And so many people come to the temples. In our Bombay Juhu temple, they have more than 1 million people visiting on this day. So we have a long way to go in Finland. But that goes to show that India is special. People have, for all their materialism, and in many ways, it appears to me, who live in India most of the time and travel in various parts of the world, it seems to me that in many ways Indian people are more materialistic than others. The most materialistic, they're more interested in getting ahead materially. But at the same time, the festivals like this bring out the spiritual side. Everyone is, Prabhupada said, everyone in India is Krishna conscious, even the Muslims. Sometimes it's difficult to understand that. But the tendency is there. So it's a great day of celebration. And in these countries, we're also distributing knowledge of Krishna, Bhagavad Gita. And these festivals are, they can be like a barometer of the effect that our preaching is having. You see how many people are coming. Not everyone will take up Krishna consciousness very seriously. We can't expect that. But we want that at the very least people will recognize Krishna and come to festivals and share in the mercy for which Krishna appears. So by doing that, at least they're making some steps towards Krishna. And that those steps can be continued in future lives. So Prabhupada, he was very, even though he went all over the world and preached Krishna consciousness, having done that, he spent extra time in India because he saw the potential there. And actually that's happening now, that more and more we're finding in India that people are very eagerly taking up this Krishna consciousness. Of course, living in this material world and especially preaching Krishna consciousness in this material world means there are always problems. So in our Krishna consciousness movement, in India, The main problem is that we don't have enough preachers. Everywhere we go, people are so interested. You can go anywhere, and if anyone takes a little trouble to preach nicely, then everywhere in India, within not a very long time, now the atmosphere is such that people will take it up. You can make the people will, they're ready, very much ready to take it up. And people know. We've distributed so many Bhagavad Gitas. And it wasn't like that when I first came to India. I first came in 1976, and then I came again in 1977 to stay for preaching. So it was very difficult in those days, actually. People, especially young people, would make fun of us. And people weren't taking it very seriously. But now so many books have been distributed, and people know our movement, and it's Prabhupada's benediction, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's benediction on the people of India, that they're taking this seriously. Maybe because as they make material progress, they're finding out that it's not as nice as they thought it would be, and very quickly they get burned out with material life. Anyway, Krishna has come for not only Indians but for everyone. Krishna is not an Indian. He's not part of this material world at all. He comes to take us out of this material world, back home, back to Godhead. So let us celebrate this day by arranging that so many people will come to the temple, give them prasada. We'll also do Harinam, go out and invite people to come. And year by year, we should see how the more and more people are coming to the celebrations, and more celebrations. That means not only in Helsinki, but there are so many other towns and cities. So we pray to Krishna that he will manifest his mercy by empowering the devotees to bring the Krishna conscious movement to every town and village of the world as desired by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You also have the term Prabhu Datta Desh. Not everyone can go all over the world, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sending his representatives in various parts of the world to preach his glories in these places. So you have all been placed in these bodies so that you can go out to other bodies that have been placed in this land without knowledge of Krishna, to give them knowledge of Krishna. So please go on doing that, distributing these books in every town and village of Finland, so that people can learn about the Supreme Lord, who is unborn, but out of his kindness appears in this world to take us to the world beyond death, his own abode of blissful pastimes. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Is there any question about this? Yeah, please ask.
Maharaj, it was mentioned in the verse that he appears with his Maha Tattva. I'm really wondering what that means.
Yeah, this comes in the verse Mahat Amsha Yuktaha. Prabhupada translates this by as accompanied by the plenary portion of Mahat Tattva. Then Prabhupada elaborates on this in the purport. Mahad Angsha Yuktaha indicates that he is accompanied by the Purushas who create the Mahatattva. So the Mahat are the Purusha avatars who are the source of the Mahatattva and who are also called Mahat. Mahatattva, that's also a name for Krishna, because he is the great tattva or phenomenon. so it can be understood like this. Yeah, please.
You mentioned that in India, the Prabhupada has said that in India, everybody is Krishna conscious.
Yeah, he said that more than once, actually.
How many Vaishnavas there are around the world?
How many what?
Vaishnavas there are around the world in India.
In the world and in India? Well, everyone's a Vaishnav. Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said once that there's no question of converting people to Vaishnavas because people are already Vaishnavas. It's a matter of just reminding them. Well, it depends how broadly you want to define the term Vaishnav. In the broadest sense, one who worships Krishna can be called a Vaishnava. So many people call themselves Vaishnavas, although pure Vaishnavas means those who have accepted initiation into and accept the principles of a pure sampradaya. So those are not so many, and even those many nowadays who are initiated into a bona fide sampradaya, the initiation is going on formally and there's no proper teaching. And then we have the upper sampradayas who also consider themselves Vaishnavas. So pure Vaishnavas are not very many. Those who understand the principle of surrender to Vishnu, not so many. But in a general way, we, as Prabhupada said, everyone in India is a Vaishnava. Because there's a tendency to be inclined towards Krishna, which you can see by so many people coming to the temples, especially on Janmashtami. In Vrindavan, actually, it's interesting. I went there once for Janmashtami. It's not such a big festival. You won't see such big crowds at the temples. Maybe one reason is because there are so many temples. But other festivals are bigger there. I mean, people don't come from outside to Vrindavan as they do. Well, they do during Kartik and Shravan and Purushottam, these 3 months, Purushottam Adhik Mas. And they come to Govardhan. Nowadays, Govardhan has become it wasn't like that 30 years ago, but nowadays Govardhan has become a major, already, it always was an important pilgrimage center, but it's become major, especially on Govardhan Puja Day, and even more on Guru Purnima, because that's also the appearance day of Sanatan Goswami, who's the guru of all the Vrajvasis. So a huge, millions of people do Govardhan Parikrama on those 2 days. Millions. You can't imagine. More than a million. It's the whole way around Govardhan. There's a thick crowd for more than 24 hours, all moving. And such. So. How many people visit Tirupati Balaji? Lakhs. And on certain days there's more, you know, several hundred thousand on a certain day, and then throughout the year. I was recently in that area during the summer holidays when the schools are off and the factories and everything, they have their holidays, so they have a computerized system. You book your darshan and they give you a band with your. So it was running up to 4 days. You register, and then they computerize. That means you don't have to wait in line for 4 days or whatever the period. It was running up to 4 days. You had to wait, and they only give you, like, you know, 3 second darshan. For us, they allow. They let us stand there more. We don't, as the crowd is moving, we'll stand back a little bit. We can stand for 5 minutes like that. So, I mean, just phenomenal numbers of people. And that's just one temple. There's so many well-known temples, not well-known temples. So Krishna consciousness is very big in India. And ISKCON is very well-known. If there's something in the newspaper, they'll say, ISKCON is arranging. They just put ISKCON. They don't write international. Many people don't even know what ISKCON means, actually. They just know the word ISKCON. It's a household word, you can say. So, anything else? Time. Krishna is beyond time. We are not. So let's move into the next program, which is arranging for Abhishekam. Okay. So Abhishek will be performed by initiated brahmanas who are altar clean. That means bathed with fresh cloth. That should be the standard. Hare Krishna. Shri Krishna Janmashtami ki jai. Shri Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
So I wanted to guide us forward.